Hello and welcome to a very special episode kicking off the year with the Anything But Quiet Time podcast, where for some reason Rochelle is still dressed for Christmas.
I'm not dressed for Christmas.
Those earrings.
This is post-Christmas, and there is a span of time.
Oh, no.
Where we are allowed post-Christmas to keep up our tree.
No, no, no. Okay.
I've said too much.
Let's bring our guest in right away with the very talented, the amazing Tasha Layton is here.
Let me swoop in and solve this conflict.
Please do. Please do. What are your thoughts
on... As long as it's in favor.
I'm about to tell you something about her that may change your mind, but you go ahead.
Okay, well, I am for both of you because I truly believe that you can have Christmas spirit all year long. I listen to Christmas music in other months. However, when Christmas is done, I take the tree down the morning after. Like, my house is clean before January. But part of that is because I have to put my tree up so early to be able to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'm traveling.
Okay, well, how early?
I mean, last year I put it up like 2 weeks before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So, yeah. I mean, that's pretty early.
That's not shameful. Here's who you're talking to. We did this in a video. I went to her house at the end of March and ripped down her Christmas tree.
It was still up.
Did you have it decorated for like St. Patty's Day?
I didn't have it decorated at all, actually. So I taken all the decorations off. It was just still up.
You still just love the ambiance.
I mean,
you're busy. No, she loves it.
Feels empty.
Another thing I've seen people do is they decorate their tree for every holiday.
Yes.
They'll just leave it up, which it's a little bit
and
much
those
for
people
me.
Need
I,
help.
I feel like I can't, I can't handle that.
We have a lot of people who listen to our show who have...
They need help. This. They need help. Okay. They're lovely people, but they need help.
All comments directed to cprice at ksbj.org.
Right. All right. So we love getting into what just God's showing us, you know, through scripture, through just experiences. And we love to hear some of your story as well. But I know you have an interesting question just as a parent, Rochelle.
Well, I don't know if it's a question. It's one of those things that as a parent, when your kids, because her little girl, Lila, is almost four.
Yeah.
And Levi is six. Ezra is three. Mm-hmm. And my kids are 17. One's graduating. Oh my gosh. Now we're in the new year.
Right. Yeah.
This year. And the other one is a freshman in high school. And so you're introduced every single year, you guys, to something else. And we were actually just talking before we hit record. And hear about Tasha putting the hiatus on watching TV for a little bit when you were in high school.
Yeah.
And when you saw somebody watching commercials the other day, you're like, oh my word, it's gone up five notches from where it was in terms of like lewdness. And
yeah,
it's gotten pretty crass.
The world is cray cray right now.
Yeah.
And it for sure is.
So what is happening in the classrooms? I now am knowing full on. I think there's still maybe even a bit of a sheltering in elementary school, but I don't know. We've been seeing that more and more in the news too.
Yeah.
I mean,
And I think the concern is the younger they are, propaganda is now being introduced. And so, so my son comes home and I'm driving in the car and we call Poppy on the way home and how's your day? Usually it's a teen answer.
Just grunts.
Yeah. He did kind of, and I was telling this to Carter, this to me, if they say anything specific and say, well, this was interesting, it's either interesting or it was off-putting. Hmm. And this is a public school, so it's not a Christian school, but Deuteronomy was brought up. And I was like, first of all, that's a very interesting book. And this was history class. Okay. So right away, we know that this is not, we're not learning about Noah for whatever reason in history class. You would be at a public school, but we know we're in the law right now. Okay. And what were you talking about? I still don't have full context, guys, but my wheels are still running around and I can't wait to get home today and figure out the rest. It was just a busy, crazy day after school. So I wasn't able to really investigate. And I don't think my response was the best. But he said, well, the part about where women are supposed to dress like women and men are supposed to dress like men, and I could already see it on his face because he knows that this is taken from the Bible, which is something that we hold dear and respect and revere. But obviously you're in a classroom where now people, I could just tell, again, I'm like, Okay, so this was probably being brought up for a very specific purpose mm-hmm. and lifted out of context in order for an argument to be won and not a conversation to take place, perhaps, in terms of faith mm. and religion. I've encountered this before, but I could see it, I think, just the way that I would deliberate those things in my brain as a college student. They're, you know, I'm glad that he's as young as he is, that maybe he'll start going over those things way earlier than myself. But I can't wait to have that conversation further. Share with me the full context. What was all said? What was all done? And it's important even now with our children to bring up stuff that maybe we have not investigated as adults in our Christian path. What are the laws? The Christians observe three categories of law in the 613 written ones that we know of. And there's judicial, there's morality, and I believe the other one is about ritualistic or cleansing. You know, some of them, absolutely, the moral ones we should pay attention to, and I'm sure that the cross-dressing one addresses the morality. But specifically, the point about girls wearing pants was what my son remembered. And I thought, okay, here we go.
It seemed like the first time he's really been in this situation.
Yeah. And my response was, okay, I'm getting my Bible cap on. Hey, uh-huh. So they're taking it out of context. I'm going to just jump into things that you haven't even heard about right now with the 613 and the bad response. Now that I've taken a breath and slept. Huh. You know what, kid? Thank God they opened the Bible. First mm-hmm. off, just right off the bat. Or an app about the Bible. Because if John in the first chapter is accurate, Jesus is the word, and they got a little closer to Jesus, whether that was the intention yeah. or not, whether they even know it or not, whether they even would like to know that they did or not. And that's where I should have started. Huh, you were bringing up the Bible. First of all, if I am acting that way with my children, then that trickles down, and now he's calmer. He's got peace. Because I don't have to get all riled up if I am blessed enough and privileged, because it's not because I'm better. It's because I'm blessed. Mm-hmm. It's because I've found grace. It's because I've recognized my failure and that I'm a sinner and that I've grabbed mm-hmm. hold of that truth, right? We're not better than them, kiddo. We've just been really blessed that we know Jesus right now. So let's flip-flop our perspectives and let's give the benefit of the doubt and maybe have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And if they're not willing to have a conversation, then maybe just stepping away. Mm-hmm. You know, but those are so important that we have these conversations with our kids, because that stuff, and that's just one that I know of. How many of those conversations every day?
I think you hit the nail on the head, though, when you said you have to regulate your response.
Yeah.
Because children, or anyone for that matter, they can smell fear. They can smell fake. Yeah. They smell it from a mile away. And I think when you are confident in God's love, that he's going to win out. Yes, the world is cray cray, but we know who wins. We don't have to be afraid to be a Christian right yeah. now. We don't have to be afraid to yes. say what we believe in love. And, you know, God's not intimidated by mm-mm. your kids' questions.
Sure.
He's not intimidated by our questions. And I think from a season of searching in my life, I found that I don't have to be afraid of questioning things and having those hard conversations, because some of those conversations, you know, for a time, they may have seemingly pulled me away from the Bible. But mm-hmm. in the grand scheme, mm-hmm. in God's perspective, his ways are higher, his thoughts are higher. Mm-hmm. That 40,000-foot view, in the grand scheme, it was actually bringing me closer. And, you know, Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Mm-hmm. You know, those external laws, yes, they were, some of them are hard to read, you mm-hmm. know, but it was yeah. it was a circumcision of the flesh. It was external obedience, whereas Jesus is going, hey, I want to take you deeper. You say if you commit adultery, but I say if you even look at a woman. Right. It was a circumcision of the heart. It was a matter of our heart's intention. And I love what you said about, you know, they just got a little bit more Jesus by mm-hmm. even opening the Bible. Because how many you know, schools around the country would never have even done that.
Yeah, that's true.
So thank God.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good.
Well, I love what you said there about the questions, because one thing that's really given me peace over the past, whenever I heard it put this way in the last year or two, that when the man that is wanting his son to be healed approaches Jesus and he says, Lord, you know, will you do it? And he says, and Jesus basically says, all things are possible for those who believe. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief.
Help my unbelief.
And, yeah. And Jesus doesn't condemn him, but he goes on to heal the man's child. And that there's this coexisting of whether it's questions or whether it's just doubt in general, is doubt and belief. And we get to, it's a lot like, getting married, mm-hmm. where there's doubts swirling in the back of our mind, but I choose what I believe. Mm-hmm. I choose to, in spite of the doubt, move forward, walk down that aisle, and get married. Mm-hmm. And so I love the way you put that. I'm curious, because I'd be in the same boat as you with Lila, because I have a 3, you know, getting close to 4-year-old. But maybe your oldest, is he starting to ask questions of like, well, if we believe this and we go to church and it says this, why this? Have you got some hard-hitting questions from your kids?
I haven't had questions, but I've had experiences that I've had to talk him through. And, you know, as a believer, as a Christian, we believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to believe politically that people can have a union for tax purposes or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. there's a different thing. But as far as a sacred covenant of marriage, Christians believe that it's between a man and a woman. And yeah. we were watching Cocomelon the other day, mm-hmm. and there was or maybe it wasn't Cocomelon, it was something else, but there was a same-sex couple that okay. were showing affection on the television. Now, I would not have been comfortable even with the amount of PDA that they were showing between a man and a woman to my 6-year-old,
yeah.
and yet they're grooming, you know, through this television show. And so I had to have that conversation with my 6-year-old, which I wasn't ready to have that conversation with him.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like he was at a point mentally and emotionally to handle some of the things, but I think we are going to have to be proactive instead of reactive right now in our faith conversation with our kids. And so that's a really tough place to be in, but also to take a scripture out of context, but also, you know what I mean by this, is for such a time as this. Mm-hmm. God knew that our kids would be growing up in this day and age, that we would be parents when we are being parents right now, and he's prepared us for that, and he has a plan and a purpose for that. And so I don't want to make a decision out of fear or be reactive. God has not given us a spirit of fear, yeah. but of power, truth, and a sound mind, and perfect love. His perfect love casts out fear. So I want to enter those conversations not fearful, but with confidence and boldness that the Holy Spirit gives, to be able to give an answer for those who ask what we believe and why we believe it.
Yeah.
We don't have to shove it down anybody's throats. We don't have to beat a Bible. You know, I toured a long time in the secular world, and it was a very interesting atmosphere to be a Christian in. And what I learned during that season was that you don't have to say a word. At times, the Spirit of God within us is enough to change the atmosphere. We underestimate his love. Mm. We underestimate the power of his presence. And just by virtue of me being in the room, God has entered that room. And not, you know what I mean, because God was there. He's omnipresent.
Yeah.
He was there before I walked in. He's going to be there when I leave. But there is a glory aspect and an anointing aspect when you carry mm-hmm. the Spirit of Christ in your heart.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit. It changes the room. Mm-hmm. And I think we underestimate that. And mm-hmm. we need to be modeling that for our kids too, that, hey, you don't have to get in an argument with somebody. You just love them. Mm-hmm. People, our world needs love.
Yeah.
That is what they're searching for, love and freedom. They think they're doing all these things because they want to be free and they want to enact their freedom or be free. And it's not freedom at all, but they don't know that.
No.
Sure.
Know that.
Yeah.
But they won't know that if you go in beating mm-hmm. them down and trying to match the volume in the room.
We've had enough of that in church history.
It's enough. Yeah.
We need to try something different.
Yeah. I liked the reaction versus response. It's something that, you know, we've said over and over and over again, and I'm glad you repeated it. And I think it's important to not shame yourself when you do react. Mm-hmm. Because you will. And I just proved that you will, because I reacted. poorly. And I don't even think anybody from the outside looking in would think I reacted poorly. But I think it's like, it's a growing in the Lord kind of conscientious Holy Spirit's like, yeah, you could have done that real better. So again, if you have been a fly on the wall, and Carter says this, Rochelle, I didn't see anything that you were saying, but I knew I had crossed a line.
But kudos to you as a parent for recognizing that, because we need to model that conflict, that inner conflict of, hey, I said something that if I had had time to think about it, I wouldn't have responded this way. But to say that to your teenage kid
is valuable.
And come back to them, that's going to say volumes, you know, versus you just trying to shove it under the rug.
I think two things with the parenting aspect is, one, I always was just admired when my parents would apologize. If they were wrong or if they didn't know something, they'd come back later, like you said. But I think also, like, isn't this in that roundabout way what we want? Our kids to have genuine faith and to work through these hard issues. But it's scary, because I mean, I haven't really gone through that with Ezra. It's scary when it happens for the first time and you're like, oh man, they're getting influenced in this way by this corrupt, you know, world. And it's like, I don't want them there, but I want them there. I want them prepared for it. And you went through it. You have to realize that God's going to get them through it.
You can't do it for them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what's hard though.
I think I have had the mentality of, that my kids, just by virtue of living in our house, would be influenced, which is true to an extent. But I think I'm taking the stance now that I need to be proactive in literally guarding them, like training them for war. Because what we are seeing is far less real than what we don't see. Or what we don't see is far more real than what we do. And there is a spiritual battle happening. And I think we have to be proactive, and I am seeing that now in a way that I didn't in the last 5 years or so. I think even with my littles, they absorb, they're sponges. They absorb way more than what we think they might. And even Levi, you know, I'm homeschooling and I'm teaching him how to read right now. And Keith and I have been spelling words out for a long time to try to, you know, avoid certain words being said in front of him. But now he's learning to spell. And I'm like, okay, well, we either need a new tactic or we need to adjust what we're doing.
You speak Pig Latin. You can go to that, I guess. Yeah.
Exactly. He's so smart, though. He'll
That's his foreign language, though.
Yeah, right.
That's what he wants to do.
That's the credit, right. Yeah. Well, I'd be curious about your upbringing. I mean, were you raised in a Christian home? Were these your experiences? Were you guarded? Or what was your story?
I think I was really sheltered. You know, my parents took us to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every VBS, every potluck, you know?
Yeah. We
were the family that went to church on vacation. And so I grew up in the church, but what I knew of God and religion was that hard pew and the shoulds and the shouldn'ts. Definitely more of a religious thing. And when we switched churches when I was 8 or 9 years old, I experienced the presence of God for the first time. And that made a huge difference in my life. And then I went every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Tuesday night Bible study, and I was the only one without a hearing aid. I didn't care. I was just like, I just wanted more of God. And but what I will say is my parents didn't shy away from any subjects. They might have been a little legalistic in their response to it, but they certainly didn't shy away from talking about anything. And I had a safe relationship with them to know that if I made a mistake, I could always come to them. But I will say the overall atmosphere in which I was raised was Bible Belt culture. And so, you know, I wasn't sure as a teenager if I believed what I believed because I believed it or because I was raised in it and told what to believe. And so when I did go through a period of searching, it was certainly in response to that, being raised in that culture. I needed to know that I believed what I believe because I believed it. And so I had to go through that. Not everybody does. I had to. It's part of my story and it's part of, you know, what God's done in my life. But I certainly needed to search that out. And again, that open-mindedness, you could have from the outside looked at that and thought, gosh, is she going to be okay? But in the end, the Lord used all of it. He doesn't waste a thing, you know, and he used all of that to draw me to him in a very, you know, special way.
Yeah. I just want to go back. You experienced the presence of God. How old were you?
was 8 or 9 years old. I walked in. What was worshiping. It? They were worshiping. They it had their worship. Hands raised. One lady had a tambourine. I was like, these are my people.
Yeah.
It was just, I had not experienced feeling yeah. the presence of God. What I experienced up until that point was walking into a building mm-hmm. and being quiet, the frilly socks that itch because I was a child of the mm-hmm. 80s, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. the pointing the finger from the pulpit. Mm-hmm. That's what I had experienced mm-hmm. prior. And when I walked in and they were freely worshiping, I could tell there was something in their hearts that was connected mm-hmm. to something greater than them in such a real way. And it, and even just the tangible feeling in the atmosphere of the Spirit of God, it was so influential to me and life-changing. I can literally smell the room if mm-hmm. I think about it mm-hmm. Because it was such a pivotal moment in my faith journey, personal experience. Because mm-hmm. We are not separate individuals. Our mind, our body, our spirit, it's not separate. Mm-hmm. And when you experience something, it certainly influences your mind and vice versa. And I think that's what happened for me.
Yeah.
I'd be curious, do you, when you look back, because people grow up in maybe one or the other sometimes, like all 18 years of their life might be in that harsh church yeah. mm-hmm. or the other. Do you find that there were things that you have picked up on things, maybe the first church's appreciation of scripture, for example?
Absolutely.
Or do you find tools on both that you've picked up on?
I think as a Christian, you need a deep well and you also need fresh rain. And I will say the church I grew up in at first helped me dig the well. I can still quote all those scriptures that I learned in children's church class and mm-hmm. all of that. And that is a deep well that I still draw from. Mm-hmm. The second church helped me with the rain.
Yeah.
And that fresh rhema word, the now word of God, the hearing his voice, not just through scripture, but also in your spirit and your spirit connecting with God. And so I definitely have an appreciation for both. I think they both have parts of things that we need.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
sure.
And I think it's important to point out to our children the balance of it. There was a time frame, and I don't know if we're still in it, that there was a concern about us being a worship generation and being so, yes, I love the music and worshiping
Jesus
along.
Jesus is my boyfriend. That's what they called it. The songs about Jesus yeah. is my boyfriend.
Jesus is my boyfriend.
Getting a little comfortable.
Okay.
yeah.
Okay. So funny. But there was I was.
That we were chasing emotion.
Yeah.
We were chasing
I've heard
emotion.
Put like that. Yeah.
Do you know God's word? No. Not really.
Yeah.
When I was a child growing up, my father was a children's pastor. I was really blessed mm. with my childhood situation.
That's amazing.
Because he brought both the well and the water. Mm-hmm. And I love that. That's a lovely, lovely analogy. Mm. And there was a situation where when my children were attending a church back, not here, but somewhere else, it was a little bit staggering when I realized that the pastor over the children, and I was very good friends with this person, did not know very simple trivia, just very simple. And I try not to be, it's not like I pretentious, like, well, you know, sure. you cannot name Shadrach, Meshach, yeah. and Abednego.
If you don't know King Hezekiah, then I'll
right.
yeah.
So
that is a big one, though.
Yeah, King Hezekiah is a big one.
Okay, I was joking, and then I think you both got a little judgy.
Yeah, we're judging you right now.
Hezekiah and the shadow and the stairs. Anyway, that was a little troubling, and so the clarity that you're bringing to both of them, and I do love how you're not shaming a church, even mm-mm. though you were very much, this is what you do and this is what you don't do.
Yeah.
I think we have parents like that. If
yeah.
I'm blessed out, they are opposites. So where one is, I mean, I think generally women are the nurturing parent. And then there's the husband and they're mm-hmm. both needed. They're the conqueror and let's go get it and get it done. Boy, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. come here, baby. Let me you know, but you need both of them.
Yeah.
So otherwise you get soft one way or the other. And there's no there's my favorite word. There's no balance to that. Mm. So that's super important.
Well, I think you hit it on the head just a second ago when you said we were judging you. The word judgment.
Judge.
It's like we love to be the judge, the jury, mm-hmm. the prosecution, the defense. We like to be in all the roles.
Yeah.
When God is the only one who's in the judgment role. So it's like, you know, especially people who are searching, who are, you know, deconstructing or whatever, they will have such a judgmental spirit towards the church. And then the church will have such a judgmental spirit towards the people who are exploring and searching and trying to figure it out.
Sure.
And it's like, we have to stop this back and forth of thinking that we know better than somebody else. I think, you know, the humility and meekness in Scripture is so valuable and lifted up. And we're not approaching either of those situations with meekness or humility. Mm-hmm. And I think in love.
Yeah.
Because love is not proud.
Right.
We can't love them properly or in a biblical way and be proud.
Yeah.
The reason why that we get judgmental is because of what was being discussed in my son's classroom, though, on either side of the fence. I think the reason why people do not believe in God is because either it keeps them, accountable, and they don't want to be held accountable.
Yeah.
Or it's just too, what's the word that we heard the other day about it's not an atheist, but it's an apatheist?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They don't really care.
Coin that term. Yeah, there's no care for God, yeah.
But then, you know, then there's the, we can always go through the law and see not a gentleness per se, but the rigidity of the rules that you have to follow. But I think the rules were written down to a people that had been thrown into such confusion, living in Egypt for so long, and then surrounded by cultures that declared everything a god or whatever. Mm-hmm. There had to be a line. There had to be a standard. And it also needed to direct people to the place of, do you see how broken we are?
Yeah.
And then it leads to that beautiful thing about, but see, God created a loophole. At the very beginning of time, he created the loophole. So that it's not just a Band-Aid you slap on the wound of broken humanity. It's a fixing. It's a healing. And we skip over that. And instead of preaching identifying with Jesus Christ so that the Holy Spirit can do a work in me, we preach against the sin that we see. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you're talking about is key, is like, that's a person who's trying to figure out their relationship with God. And it looks a little bit different than maybe mine. And that's uncomfortable.
Well, but I think it's tough because, especially when it's people that have been a part of the church.
Yes.
And it's like, I think that the mindset comes out of like, well, you should know better. Because when they're saying some of these very heretical things sometimes, and it's like the deconstruction movement is like, well, okay, it's great to deconstruct in a way. But it's got to be more in that Reformation mindset of Scripture should still be the guide.
Yeah.
And then I deconstruct anything that humans have added, the American church, evangelical. I mean, absolutely. That's totally great. I'd be curious your perspective, and not that, you know, we want to know names or anything, but you've probably had some interesting conversations in the music industry, because it seems like, I don't know, with the creative mindset or whatever it is, there's a lot of people that have interesting journeys of faith in the industry.
I have. And I think they're, you know, before I go to that, I will say, you know, you mentioned that balance, and we can't stay in Deuteronomy.
Sure.
There's a whole reason that we have the books we have in the canon of Scripture. And so the breadth of Scripture is a love story and a story of salvation between God and humanity that we have to see it from the beginning and end and in context.
Yes.
And it's like when we stay in one place for anything, it's not healthy. But yes, I've had tons of conversations with people who, you know, I would say I have two conversations mainly. One of them is those who are deconstructing or just like, I've had it, I'm done. And usually that has to do with a wound or intellectualism. It's not, I think sometimes those around them can see why they're deconstructing, but they can't yet. And then give it 5 years, maybe they can. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the other conversation I have is with people who have grown up in the church, who've literally built a fence around the law like the Pharisees, not gone out of any kind of boundary, and they're so suppressed that they are really frustrated in life and I feel like they're going to end up breaking bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I get concerned for both groups, mm-hmm. you know, and not that I've arrived. I'm not saying that I've arrived, but I'd certainly feel a confidence in who I am in Christ and what I believe now, given my period of searching and my history. And so I have compassion on both groups.
This is very well worded, by the way.
Thank you. I have compassion on both groups, and I try to have conversations with both groups mm-hmm. without them feeling judgment from me.
Yeah.
And to know that, hey, I've kind of been in both places, and the Lord has brought me to a place somewhere in, I'm not even going to say in the middle, but above it.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. closer to him and close to his heart, safe with him. And that took a long journey. And I'm not afraid of your journey. I'm not afraid of your questions. I'm not afraid of what you're thinking or questioning right now or fearful of. Like, let's just ask God to be with you right yeah. now in wherever you are and see what he says mm-hmm. and lean into them. Because I think people lean into books. They lean into social media. They lean into people's opinions instead of leaning into the Spirit of God.
Mm.
And thankfully, I got there, you know, where I was leaning into the Spirit of God instead of any influence around me. But that took some help from some folks who didn't judge me.
Yeah.
And so I definitely want to be that for other people.
The concern, great. I think, and it's an authentic concern for people who might have the reaction as opposed to the proper response, is if this particular individual is in a place of leadership.
Mm. Yeah. Or influence yeah. on or influence, TikTok or something, yeah. right? Yeah.
And now are they leading others astray? And I get that, but, you know, it's like what we were talking about earlier. The same Jesus that dwells in me dwells in my children. Mm. The same Jesus that dwells in her dwells in you, dwells in. And if somebody is authentically on a search, whoever you used to put on the quote pedestal, if you seek, you will find.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I know that to some degree, if I'm on a board and I'm holding a pastor or somebody, a singer, accountable, you know, that's a different story. But in terms of being able to kind of release those things, even on social media rants, and I know that I can't even do those things. I can't even look. The comment sections, I personally can't do that.
Mm-mm.
I know Carter has ventured there, and I've actually got nothing but respect for the way that he's very lovingly tried to speak into.
I've gotten on some of those live TikToks I can't before do it. With some like even atheists, and yeah. it's an interesting conversation sometimes.
But you're calm and you keep cool. And yeah, that's
I think
the
that's
point.
What's key, right? And then sometimes you just have to step yeah. away if they're not.
I mean, and whether that actually has direct impact on the person that you're chatting with, or maybe somebody else there, then that's between you and the Lord as to whether or not that's a viable place to go and share. But we're able to release those things over because anybody on a true journey, on a true life journey, Jesus sees you. Yeah. He loves you and he is patient so that none will perish.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
It's interesting what you say about influence too, because scripture says in the New Testament, it's better that a millstone be tied around your neck and you be thrown into the sea than to cause one of my little ones to stumble.
It's harsh.
True.
It's harsh.
True. yeah.
But who's to say who's influencing who? I think, you know, we see someone with a ton of followers on something and we think that they're influencing. And sometimes it's like a bad car accident. You just follow somebody because you just want to know what's going on because you're like, whoa, I want to see where this goes.
Right.
But I think, you know, a lot of times it's like...
Back in the day, children, that was Sally, Jesse, Raphael.
Ah!
Or Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer. But I do think, you know, we underestimate the influence that we have every day. Like...
Mm-hmm.
The influence that you guys have, like the influence that the janitor has at an elementary school, you
Absolutely.
Know, like what we say and what we do I think when scripture is telling us that, it's for all of us equally. What the world applauds and lifts up on a pedestal and what we think is influence is not necessarily what the kingdom thinks is influential and what God applauds. Mm-hmm. And so I'm having a hard time with social media since I stopped watching TV in high school, you know, and now we're in an age of social media. It's really tough to navigate that and to not let the culture of this world, the spirit of this world, influence my heart. Because mm-hmm. I want to keep a kingdom culture mindset in my heart and mm-hmm. life. And that means not thinking the way that the world necessarily thinks. Not in a way that's weird or
I think
silly
we should
or religious.
Clarify, too, because we were having a conversation before and when you stopped watching TV, I want to make sure that you know that Tasha has not gone and hidden under a rock. Like, you've watched shows.
Yeah.
But you've been careful. You've been monitoring it.
I've watched a handful of shows on Hulu that my husband told me I should watch or whatever. And, you know, I toured with Katy Perry for over 4 years, so I've seen it all.
It's I bet not, you have.
You know, I haven't been sheltered, that's for sure.
yeah, I bet
I'll
not.
I'll just leave it at that. Okay. I have not been sheltered. But all that to say, I just think, you know, what we think is things are not always as they appear. Mm-hmm. And we have to have the perspective of God and ask him what he thinks about mm-hmm. it, especially this whole social media comparison game or whatever. Like, when you know who you are in Christ, you're not needing to compare mm-hmm. or compete because kingdom culture, there's room for everyone to be at their very best and be completely who God made them to be, mm-hmm. whatever that means. And I think when we're secure in our identity, we don't go to comparison or competition right away. But the whole social media thing is really mm-hmm. messing with people's hearts and minds right now. And it angers me.
Yeah.
I'm like, not today, Satan. Like, mm-hmm. I get angry, you know, at the enemy. And I think it's easy for us. We're talking about the spirit of judgment right now. It's easy for us to get upset with people who are working the system and on socials and influencing and trying to, you know, make themselves appear one way or another. And we need to have compassion and get mm-hmm. angry with the enemy of their soul.
Yeah.
We need to get angry at the spirit of this age, not the people. And honestly, prayer, I feel like prayer will shirk the spirit of judgment off of our lives. Mm-hmm. Like, because when you align yourself with the Holy mm-hmm, Spirit mm-hmm. and with God's perspective, mm-hmm. you're looking at the world and you're not seeing it the same way that everyone else does. Mm-hmm. The things that anger other people might not anger you. And the things that everyone else is, you know, drifting through a life of status quo and they're not angry, they're apathetic, like mm-hmm. you said, like some of those things will anger us. And so I think keeping that sensitivity to the Lord, no matter what we're looking at, whether it's social media, judgment, all that, we have to stay close to the Father. Jesus said, I do what I see my Father doing. And he went away. He got mm-hmm. away to be with the Father. And if we lose that, I feel like right now, more than ever, the spirit of this world will creep in. Those mm-hmm. little foxes will spoil the vine. And I feel like that's what we have to guard against right now more than ever as believers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. so good. Tasha, thank you so much. This has been amazing. This has been hour one of 4 hours with Tasha Lee. No, I'm just kidding.
Like,
we didn't tell her how long she was going to be on.
Oh my gosh.
Wait a minute.
We're going to go scene by scene with Katy Perry.
Every single costume change.
That is something.
Every wig color.
No, what did you do? Did you open?
No, I sang backgrounds for her for 4 years. So I had all kinds of crazy outfits and
oh my goodness. Were you on the shark at the Super Bowl?
No, I left her right before the Super Bowl.
Oh my goodness. I did not know that. Yeah. Oh, that's something. Well, it's been amazing.
The shark at the
on
Super
that
Bowl.
Note.
Well, come on.
We had such a good play. I took it there. I
went there.
Let's go back. Let's go back to
this energy. I like ending on this note.
It was great. Kicking off the new year here with the Anything But Quiet Time podcast. And Tasha, first of all, anything coming out this year that we need to know about from you? Where can we find all of the latest songs? What are you allowed to say?
Did you just look at your
person? 2024?
I know. Yeah. Not because I'm asking for permission.
No, you're like trying to remember.
I don't remember.
It's begun.
Well, even just socials is great.
Because, you know, when you, the timeline of an artist actually doing the work and mm-hmm. the timeline of it coming out yeah. is so different. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have no idea what I've done, where I've been, who I've talked to. I don't know where I am right now.
Right.
I don't know what time zone I'm in. I literally don't.
Do you know what city you're in?
It's okay.
Give me a second. I was in Austin last night. Houston. Okay. Houston. KSBJ.
That's
Houston.
Awesome. I love that. See? I love that. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Okay. Then your socials. I know you remember that. Where can we find you online?
TashaLayton.com okay. for everything. TashaLayton okay. on Instagram. TashaLayton on Facebook. All the things.
Perfect.
And I do have, you know, I have a live Christmas album.
That can be celebrated any time of
the
year.
That's true. She'll be listening to it for the next 6 months.
And I had some other Christmas music come out in December, and I had a single with Toby Mac come out in December, and then I have a new record coming out this year, and so super stoked about it.
Oh, great. And she wrote all those songs 15 years ago.
Right, yeah. I know. Yeah.
So. It's like birthing a baby. You know, we always compare it to that. It's like, gosh, you're pregnant for what seems for forever.
Sure. Yeah. It's like that, right? All right. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.